From WBUR Boston, I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The immigration debate is heating up in Washington. At the heart of it all, the border. In Arizona, the border's tightening up, but it's a much different story in South Texas. The situation is getting out of control, say border agents like Chris Cabrera.
The people in Washington, they have this idea that the border is safe, the border is secure, and I think they need to come down here and take a look.
A massive surge in migrant traffic, scores of makeshift rafts, and dead migrants turning up left and right, signaling big changes. This hour on Point, South Texas, the new front line in the battle over illegal border crossings. You can join us online or on air. Texans, we want to hear from you. What do you see? What does this mean for Texas, for the U.S. and immigration reform generally? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Later this hour, we'll go to Washington with the latest on the immigration debate, but first to the border, South Texas. Joining me now from McAllen, Texas, running alongside the Rio Grande that divides the U.S. and Mexico, is Christopher Sherman, Rio Grande Valley correspondent for the Associated Press. He's been watching this story unfold for some time now. Chris Sherman, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for having me.
So border security seems to be the talk of the town in Washington. Let's break this down in terms of the trends that we've seen in migrant crossings in the U.S. President Obama just last week said illegal crossings are, quote, near their lowest level in decades. Tell us, what are the numbers? Are we on a downward trend?
Well, we are, and it's important to put this in context. We're nowhere near the peaks that we saw in the 1980s, 90s, and well into the last decade, where year after year we were seeing apprehensions of more than a million people. Last year, it reached 365,000, and that was the first year it had edged up just slightly since 2005. It had been falling for several years.
Here's some sound. Let's hear from a South Texas rancher, Juan Mercado. He's talking about his border property, seeing rising numbers of immigrants sneaking through the border over his land.
I'm being invaded by people who have no permission to be on my property, by smugglers, by illegals.
Take us on the ground. Take us to the ground level, Chris Sherman. What are you seeing in Texas? What's different now than maybe what you've seen before?
Well, we really started seeing these numbers surging in 2011. Last year it was up 65%. They had apprehensions in this sector. The Rio Grande Valley sector, Border Patrol apprehended, had 98,000 arrests, and that was up 65% on the previous year. Now, just at the end of May, which would be 8 months into the current fiscal year, they were already up again more than 50% on the same period last year. So we're on pace this year here in the Rio Grande Valley sector to surpass the Border Patrol's longtime arrest leader, the Tucson sector in Arizona, this year. Last year they had 120,000 arrests there, and we're on pace to surpass that this year.
Right. So when you think of border crossings, you do think of Arizona as the big hotspot. So what's behind this shift from Arizona to South Texas?
Well, in part, I think you have to look at the composition of who's being arrested here now in the South Texas sector. It has changed. For years, Mexican immigrants dominated the illegal crossings, but more recently, in the last couple of years here, we've seen Central American migrants predominantly. The government refers to these others as other than Mexicans, OTMs. And in this sector, in the last 2 years, we've really seen those numbers shoot up. Again, they're primarily Central Americans, Hondurans, El Salvadorans, Nicaraguans, who are coming here. And that seems to be where the growth is. The illegal immigration from Mexicans has stabilized or fallen in recent years. Mm. So if you think about it, if you look at a map, this southernmost point in Texas is geographically the shortest distance from those countries in Central America. So it makes sense that if those are the ones that are doing the immigration growth, that this is where we'd be seeing it.
And how are they getting from the south, from Central America, up to the Mexico-Texas border then?
It's a brutal journey. The method that you hear about most is they hop trains in southern Mexico and ride the trains up through the middle of the country. You hear more and more that these routes are controlled by the drug cartels. They're terrorized along the way. They're extorted and robbed at every stop on the train. And if they are fortunate to make it up here to the border, it doesn't really get much easier. They're often held in stash houses here by smugglers while their families are extorted for whatever money they can have. And then eventually they might get a chance to cross the border. But there isn't much crossing anymore that people do just on their own. Organized crime controls it almost entirely. And it can be very risky for an immigrant to just head down to the river on his own to try and cross without paying a fee.
Mm. And how much typically is that fee?
It ranges. It all depends on where they're going. If they've made it here to the border and they just need to cross the river, it could be as little as a few hundred dollars. But if they're paying a smuggler that's going to continue to take them up to Houston, which is a major hub and access to the rest of the country, it could be a couple thousand dollars.
Here's some sound from an Arizona rancher and a mother talking to NBC News recently that drug smugglers often walk through her land after crossing the border. She doesn't think that immigration reform will work without increased border security.
I would say that's definitely not secure at all. And until you can stop that, really any talks about anything else is just a waste of time.
You talk about the drug trade and smugglers coming in. I'm reading a lot about how in Arizona, marijuana was rolling across the border. But in Texas, it's more the hard drugs. Is that right?
We still see primarily marijuana. That's the primary drug that's moving through this area. We absolutely see cocaine and heroin as well. In terms of weight, certainly it's primarily marijuana.
So when we talk about securing the border, Christopher Sherman, what do we need to see that happen? What's the picture of a secure border? What does that look like?
Well, it's going to be really interesting to follow this debate in Washington and see what they try to work out. Anyone who's been down to this portion of the border, and it helps if you have an idea of what it looks like here. I think most people have images of something in Arizona, maybe open desert. But here it's a river that really has lush vegetation along the river banks. There are lots of little towns and communities that go right up to the river. So once people make it across, it's fairly easy for them to blend, melt into a community before they continue on their journey. So I've talked to Border Patrol agents who have spent the majority of their careers here in the area and asked them that question, what more could really be done? And in terms of manpower, just based on what the terrain looks like here, they talk about you'd have to place an agent every, 10, 20 yards from each other so they could see the agent to their right and the agent to their left to really shut it down. But you reach some point where you're dealing with a law of diminishing returns. So here locally, I'd say there's more support for technology. I heard the mayor of Brownsville speak out on Monday about, more cameras, more drones. I think in many cases people would be fine even with more agents as well. The border fence is a more controversial proposal here.
We talk about different proposals and what's going on in Washington with immigration reform. You hear some say and make the argument that even the discussion of a path to citizenship for some of the unauthorized 11 million immigrants in the U.S. is enough to pull more crossings in places like where you are. On the ground, is that part of the motivation? Do you see that piece?
That's an interesting question. I've talked to Border Patrol agents here in the first half of this year who have told me as they saw the surge, they were hearing from the people that they were arresting that they had some sort of impression that if they got into the country, they'd be okay. My own interviews conducted in migrant shelters in the Mexican border cities of Reynosa and Matamoros, I interviewed Central American immigrants there, and they did not express that to me. They didn't really have any knowledge of that reform. I think it's quite possible that the smugglers, in an effort to drum up their business, could be spreading some of that misinformation, because, of course, under the bill that's being considered right now, you would have had to have arrived in the country before December 31st, 2011.
What's the atmosphere there in the Texas borderlands among ranchers? I mean, we've heard from a couple of them here on tape, but from your interviews and your interactions from ranchers, residents, what are you hearing? What's the atmosphere along the Texas border?
Well, here close to the river, there has always been illegal immigration here. There's always been smuggling here. So day-to-day life, living here, I can't say that I hear that there's a huge difference. You do tend to hear more complaints from ranchers north of the border. There are Border Patrol highway checkpoints on the two highways leading out of the Rio Grande Valley, about an hour north from the border. And so once the immigrants get across, they're held in stash houses for a few days until the next leg can be organized. Then they're driven up near those checkpoints, dropped off on side roads in the brushland, and they have to hike 2 or 3 days to get around those checkpoints. And up there, that's where you hear more from the ranchers. That's where the bodies are being found.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about South Texas this hour, the new front line in the battle for border control. Last Tuesday at the White House, President Obama defended the immigration bill as a common sense fix to the nation's broken system. He said the nation's current border control is working.
We made border security a top priority. Today, we have twice as many Border Patrol agents as we did in 2004. We have more boots on the ground along our southern border than at any time in our history. And in part by using technology more effectively, illegal crossings are near their lowest level in decades.
We're talking with Chris Sherman, a Rio Grande Valley correspondent for the Associated Press. He covers border issues and border security in South Texas. And joining me now in Falfurrias, Brooks County, Texas, is Benny Martinez, chief deputy for the County of Brooks, where he works in the Sheriff's Department, former Texas State Police officer for 29 years. He has seen a lot on the border and beyond. Chief Deputy Benny Martinez, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Jane. Thank you.
Well, thank you. You heard President Obama there talking about a secure border being a top priority, more boots on the ground in the southern border than at any time in our history. Are you seeing that on the ground, more boots, better use of technology? I mean, what's your sense? You've been doing this a long time.
Well, I don't see the boots on the ground where I'm at here in Brooks County, and it's just got to do with the overwhelming apprehensions that are occurring here in the county of Brooks. I know that they're limited. The local offices, the local Border Patrol office, is limited to what they can do, et cetera, because of the shortage. So it really influxes everything, and it kind of comes to a standstill.
Mm-hmm. How are people getting across illegally right now, Sheriff?
What's happening now? They're located in the stash houses in the McAllen Mission area. Then they're driven up by conveyances up towards the checkpoint. We have a checkpoint that's about 17 miles south of Falfurrias. So when they get to a certain area, let's say between 10, 15 miles south of the checkpoint, they bail out. These vehicles will stop, and a group of persons will get off this vehicle and run over jump the fence. Now, what's happening there is that, we constantly get calls of 5 to 6 vehicles at a time stopping along the main highway, which is United States Highway 281, and you get 20 to 25 people jumping from each of these vehicles. So you get 5 vehicles, each of them have 20 at least. That's 100 people that are jumping over into the wooded area.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they generally come in groups. Do you see a lot of repeat crossings? Some people make it over, maybe are apprehended, and then come back again?
Now, that information, I don't get, because it pretty much stays with the Border Patrol. I do know that we do have a lot of hands-on on these illegal, undocumented walkers that are coming through, and it has to do depending on what the situation arises, whether there is a dead body or rescue, etc.
Here's a South Texas-based Border Patrol agent. His name is Chris Cabrera. He's talking to CBS News that some people crossing the border encourage others at home to do the same.
Once the first group comes across, they call the family, they call their friends, and let them know that, hey, the time is right. Come on over.
Is that a problem for you, Chief Deputy?
Well, absolutely, because that is very inaccurate statement, because that's what happens. They tend to have a pretty good intel as to when and how they can come over, the time lapse. They tend to know when it's safe for them to come over, even though there's a presence of law enforcement, there's a presence of Border Patrol. But they tend to know what time would be better for them to come on over, and they do. Go ahead.
And where are people held if they're caught, sir? Is that an issue for you? Do you run out of room in the jail? I mean, what's the status of that?
Actually, that's not an issue for me, because what happens is once they get caught, Border Patrol takes them into their main office, and they have had a problem to where at times they have up to 300 people and what they refer to as a holding for processing. Here recently, they started to filter them out to other offices to assist them in processing all these undocumented persons.
I'm hearing stories anecdotally. Maybe you can confirm of, you know, migrants being held in pretty difficult conditions. I mean, garbage bins and such until there's room to process them. Is that true?
I've never seen that. I do know that they're pretty crowded, but they do what they can with what they have, with the resources they have.
So talk about those resources, Chief Deputy. I mean, is the Border Patrol in need of more resources? The Chief Border Patrol officer said he has shifted agents and surveillance equipment to the region. Have you seen much of that?
Yes, I have, because this is one county. Brooks County is a county where there's assistance that's coming in from, I believe there's some members from El Paso area. But you also, in Brooks County alone, you get the Rio Grande sector that comes up. You get the office out of Freer, office out of Rio Grande City, office out of Hebronville, office out of Kingsville. And all these little sub-offices come in and they work Brooks County alone, and they all stay busy. So that kind of tells you the problem that is occurring in Brooks County alone on immigration issues.
Chris Sherman, Associated Press reporter in the Rio Grande Valley. What are you hearing from Chief Deputy Martinez as far as the resources that are moving in and out of this region to help with this problem?
Well, that sounds like what we've been hearing as well. Border Patrol officials have said that at this point they've recognized the surge here in the Rio Grande Valley, and they've made an effort not only to move in agents from other sectors, but they're also sending most of their new academy graduates here as well once they finish their training. So it does seem that they've recognized that, but I think it always takes some time to move resources.
Chief Deputy Martinez, we're hearing, and Chris Sherman made mention of it, many migrants who lose their lives crossing the border into the United States. Where do you see that? How do you see that? And, you know, how do you guard against that?
Well, you kind of don't. A lot of these persons that are coming over, some of them have already lived in the States for many years. Some of them are just family members that are trying to be part of this amnesty they're talking about. And last year alone, we had about 129 of them. This year, we're already at 30, and we picked up number 30 yesterday, early morning. So we are at an increase of 93% from year to date from last year. So we're already at 93% increase. So it's going to be a long summer for us. It's going to be a long, the rest of the months that are left. But they're definitely coming. We're seeing people from even China, from Brazil, and then of course Central America, which is kind of the influx of it. But I don't have the resources. You know, I only have five people that actually work the road itself, and I don't know after all this bill is said and done where we're going to lay as far as if any funding or any extra boots for this office is going to come into play.
Last week on the Senate floor, Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer of New York said that securing the border requires a lot of things, including advanced technology. Here he is.
I visited the border with Senators McCain, Flake, and Bennett. It's huge. You can't station enough people on the border. There are no roads in large parts of it. But with the drones, you can see every single person who crosses the border day or night, and you can follow their paths so they can be apprehended when they're 10, 20, 25 miles inland. It's a huge improvement.
Chief Deputy Benny Martinez down there in Brooks County, is that something that you would welcome? Is that something that would work, Senator Schumer's idea of drones along the border?
Well, absolutely, because down here we get groups of 30 and 40. That's not uncommon. And they will walk most of the night, and then they have their pickup points, and then you have your local stash houses also that we have to deal with. So there's a lot of other variables that occur here in Brooks County. They have their staging areas, and that definitely will help, absolutely.
Well, Benny Martinez, Chief Deputy for the County of Brooks in Texas, thank you very much, sir, for your time. I appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
Now we turn to the big picture in Washington, where the debate rages on over immigration reform, a bill in the Senate, proposals in the House. With that picture, Alan Gomez, immigration reporter for USA Today. He spent time along the border and time on the Hill. He joins us from Washington today. Alan Gomez, welcome back to On Point.
Thanks, Jane.
So you've heard this conversation. Take us to the big picture here. What's happening in the Senate now with the immigration bill? And is border security a big part of these debates?
Absolutely. What Chief Deputy Martinez is experiencing there is become one of the biggest stumbling blocks in attempts to get this immigration bill passed. Mm-hmm. You heard Senator Schumer there talking about their attempts at increasing border security. The bill that he proposed, along with seven other senators, proposes $6.5 billion to head directly to that southwest border. They want to add 3,500 new Customs and Border Protection officers to man the ports of entry down there. They want to add more fencing. They want to kind of flood this region with the technology that they were talking about, with more drones, with more surveillance, with more cameras, with more radar, to get a better handle on what's going on down there and be able to turn back more people.
So, who's proposing what in terms of amendments? Because I know there are a few. both Senators John Cornyn of Texas and Marco Rubio of Florida, they have different amendments, similar goals, different proposals. What are they?
It comes down to how you measure border security. Under the bill that's being debated right now on the Senate floor, they set goals of that the Department of Homeland Security has to monitor 100% of the border and apprehend or turn back 90% of the people trying to cross it. What Senator Cornyn is trying to do is make those goals a requirement, make it a trigger, so that nobody who's here undocumented can get on that path to citizenship, can start applying for green cards and U.S. citizenship before those goals, those measurements of 90 to 100% are met. And that's one of the big sticking points. Schumer and others don't want that tied. They don't want any hurdles to them becoming legal. And that's becoming one of the bigger debates that we're having here right now.
I actually have the sound from Texas Senator John Cornyn on the Senate floor talking about these amendments, these proposed amendments to the immigration bill. As you say, the goal should be 90% apprehension rate at the border.
Americans are tired of hearing endless border security promises without seeing any realistic mechanism for guaranteeing results. My amendment would guarantee the results that Washington has long promised but never delivered.
And on Sunday, speaking with ABC's This Week, Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio, a leading architect of the Senate immigration bill, said that an amendment securing the borders is just as important as being able to work out a fair green card process.
The debate now is about what that border security provision looks like. And if we do that, this bill will have strong bipartisan support. If we fail, we're going to keep trying, because at the end of the day, the only way we're going to pass an immigration reform law out of the House and Senate so the president can sign it is if it has real border security measures within it.
Real border security measures in it. Are both sides, are they even close on this compromise, Alan Gomez? You laugh.
Not even close for now. No, yeah. No. Here's the thing. In the House especially, Republican-controlled House, what you're seeing is a fear of what happened in 1986. And then that year, that was the last time a major piece of immigration legislation passed Congress that allowed for to legalize up to 3 million unauthorized immigrants who were in the country at that time. That part worked, but that was done with the promise of the border being secured, and that part obviously did not work, and now we have 11 million unauthorized immigrants in the country. So that's the concern, definitely in the House, with some of the more conservative members in the Senate, and Senator Rubio plays an interesting part because he was one of the senators on the so-called Gang of Eight that wrote this immigration law in the Senate. So he's a co-author of this, co-sponsor. I mean, he's been the one that's been selling this on conservative media. He's been the one that's been trying to get Republicans on board with this bill. But in recent weeks, he's been saying, hey, I need more border security. I need that to be shored up, even to get my support. So that part is becoming very, very difficult to convince Republicans that they can go back to their districts and say, you know what, we finally got it. We finally got a way to secure the border. That's going to continue to be a big sticking point as we move forward.
And I keep hearing after the election of 2012 that Republicans especially are very motivated to get a deal on immigration after what happened during the election. I mean, is that something you hear up there?
Absolutely. During the introductory press conference where the Gang of Eight announced that they were filing this bill, Senator John McCain of Arizona was very clear when asked what the sudden movement on immigration reform, where that came from. He just said very clearly, elections. This party, Mitt Romney, got 27% of the Hispanic vote in 2012. And that is a number you hear constantly throughout this debate. The party on the national level is very insistent on getting that number to increase substantially. And they think that crafting an immigration bill that can get through Congress is one way to at least start having that discussion with those Hispanic voters. The difficulty comes with trying to convince, to get enough votes in the Senate and obviously in the House, where House Republicans, a lot of them, they're more concerned about being primaried and facing a GOP primary where somebody is even more conservative than they are worried about a general election. So for them, it's really hard for them to sign on to anything that includes this pathway to citizenship. That's going to make it a tough slog in the House. To some degree, we're going to see that in the Senate as well.
Right. I mean, House Speaker John Boehner has been very clear he will not bring any immigration measures to the floor unless it has, these measures have the support of House Republicans. I mean, it sounds like we're a long way away from that.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the House, there's a group in the House that has been trying to develop their own sort of broad immigration bill. They've been meeting for literally years trying to put this together. They lost a Republican member a couple of weeks ago. So that group is kind of in a tough state right now. So in place of that, what you're seeing in the House right now is what they call a piecemeal approach, a one-by-one approach. So yesterday they voted out of the House Judiciary Committee a bill to tighten interior enforcement on unauthorized immigrants, allowing state and local officers to enforce immigration laws, a little bit of what we saw in Arizona. And that's the direction they're taking. That gives you an indication of sort of where their mindset is in the House right now. That makes it very hard to kind of reach any sort of agreement with the Senate.
Chris Sherman, there in the Rio Grande Valley in Texas, how are these Washington politics playing along the border, would you say?
Well, everybody's watching closely. Obviously among the federal agencies here, Border Patrol would happily accept more resources. But at the same time, I think what I'm hearing from elected officials and property owners down here is that they're concerned about some of the other things. Border fencing was extremely controversial when they put it through here before, and there's some fear that there could be more of it ahead.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about immigration proposals in the House and the Senate and what they mean and don't for the border. Joining me from Washington this hour, Alan Gomez, immigration reporter for USA Today and reporting on the border in McAllen, South Texas, Christopher Sherman, Rio Grande Valley correspondent for the Associated Press. Let's go to the phones. James is in New Orleans, Louisiana. Hi, James. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
Go ahead, James. You're on.
I spent 20 years living down in the valley and growing up with immigration. It's just part of life. And the thing I have a hard time understanding now is, aside from being a political point for a party. Why is it an issue all of a sudden?
All right,
I mean,
James.
It's always been there, and now it's like they treat people that are coming across the border like there's some kind of a zombie horde coming into America. Any other country in the Eastern Hemisphere, we call them refugees. Here we call them immigrants, and it's a bad thing.
James, thank you. Christopher Sherman, why don't you tackle that? Is this politics, or is this an issue we've always been dealing with along the borders?
I think a lot of people down here share that sentiment, that it's something that's always existed. I remember earlier this year I was speaking with former U.S. Ambassador to Mexico, Antonio Garza, who grew up in Brownsville, and he used to talk about, you know, his father had a shop right near the International Bridge, and he remembered seeing people cross the bridge or cross the river every day in the morning to come to work, and then they'd turn around and they'd cross back at night. So it is something that people are accustomed to seeing here, but all that seems to have changed post 9/11. Security obviously has a lot more emphasis, and it's not just the people living here who are paying attention to the border now.
Alan Gomez, do you see this more of a political issue now, as the caller James suggests?
I mean, to some degree. I mean, it's interesting to see sort of the last 3 or 4 years when it comes to immigration. I mean, it started with, you know, about 3 or 4 years ago, about the only thing everybody in this country could agree on was that the federal government was not really stepping in and playing its role that it should be in enforcing border security and getting a control of illegal immigration. So you saw states like Arizona, Alabama trying to, you know, kind of work this out on their own, trying to, you know, whatever you think of those laws and the approaches that they took, you know, those were very real efforts by many politicians at the state and local levels to get a handle on something that they felt they were being overrun by. And it's just at this point that it's reached that national level where you're getting that, where you're finally getting that congressional action. You know, what comes of this, who knows? But, you know, you ask anybody along the border there, they've been dealing with it every day of their lives, obviously. It's just sometimes takes a while before all that filters up to Washington.
Here's a caller, Ed in Burlington, Vermont. Hi, Ed. Welcome to the program. You're on.
Thank you, Jane. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, if you look back to 1986, when there was the amnesty, the thing that did not happen together with it was the passage of a guest worker program, which many, I think, believe would take the pressure off of people who were crossing unlawfully now and would instead give them a way to come into the United States, benefiting us having some control over who comes in and how long they stay. And I'm wondering whether there is any thinking among law enforcement that it would be a benefit if now, instead of thinking first about fences and other security interests, there was at least a parallel, simultaneous belief and push for a strong guest worker program that would diminish the influx of people crossing unlawfully.
Got it, Ed. Thank you very much for the call. Alan Gomez, I'll let you take it.
They are absolutely paying attention to that part of it. I mean, there's a lot of talk about sort of the magnets of illegal immigration. If there weren't jobs for them here, they wouldn't be coming here, right? So what you're seeing, at least in the Senate bill, is a recognition of that. This includes a massive increase in the number of visas that will go to folks that are trained in high-tech fields. So that's to sort of appease the computer companies, you know, high-tech groups like that. But for the first time, and something we haven't seen in a long time, it also includes a visa program for lower-skilled workers to literally work in janitorial fields, to work in restaurants, to work in construction, to work in agriculture. You know, by some estimates, the percentage of people who work in agriculture right now, 50% at least, are undocumented. And so they're one of the ones that fight back the most when they talk about sort of trying to round up and deport all these folks. They know their workforce would be gone. And this bill acknowledges that, you know, whether it does it the right way, how much, you know, the details of those plans are obviously being debated right now. But, yeah, they are absolutely trying to create a broad, inclusive legal immigration system that allows for companies, not just in the high-tech area, not just in the low area, but in all sort of fields, to bring in the workers they need that they think would, you know, put a stop to a lot of this unauthorized immigration.
Chris Sherman, as you see it on the ground, would a strong guest worker program relieve some of this pressure, lessen some of the illegal immigration that we're seeing?
You know, I can really only say that in my own experience interviewing immigrants either on this side or in shelters on the Mexican side, that it still seems to be that the primary driver or motivation is economic for them. They're looking for better economic opportunities. They can't find jobs in their own countries to support their families. So if you take that as evidence of why they're coming, then I think that could be a positive thing.
Back to the phones. Dan is in Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Dan. Glad you waited.
Hi, Jane.
Hello.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment about the immigration reform, and they talk about security. It doesn't seem to address the high cost that, Border Patrol, ISR, Intelligence Surveillance Reconnaissance, and is it worth spending the hundreds of millions of dollars to catch a couple guys bringing some kilos of cocaine or marijuana over the border? And I realize security, but it comes at a cost, and people don't want to talk about that.
Dan, thank you. The cost of all this, Alan Gomez, is it really worth it? What are they saying up there in Capitol Hill?
You know, it's obviously very hard to sort of, do a cost-benefit analysis on something like this, on border security. The opinions on this sort of is, and I'm talking, I've spoken with sheriffs, with police chiefs, all across the border. In some areas, they really have seen instances where if you flood a zone, with not just Border Patrol, but even National Guardsmen, there have been some operations in Arizona where they really focused on that, along the southern border, years ago in California before they got that part of the border under control. They did the same thing. And they say it does. I mean, if you look at the Southern California border right now, it's stunning. It looks like a DMZ. There's, double, triple layer fencing. There's Border Patrol up and down the border there. That was a place where, I mean, you used to have immigrants just streaming over the highways. And now it's they've really brought their numbers significantly down. But that's a very unique area in southern Arizona and these wide, wide areas in southern Texas. You can't build double, triple fencing and you can't flood it with that many Border Patrol agents. So that's the difficulty of trying to strike that balance. They've thrown out a number of $6.5 billion for how much they want to invest in this. Some conservative senators are pushing for more, are pushing for more National Guards troops. That's an active and a difficult debate.
Chris Sherman, jump in on this, the notion of border fencing, striking the balance in Southern California, 2 and 3 layers of fencing. I mean, talk about the controversy surrounding border fencing there where you are in Arizona and other places.
Well, Alan's exactly right. I mean, they have seen pretty significant impacts in Southern California, but to try to imagine double or triple layer fencing over the terrain that we have here in South Texas is really difficult. I mean, first you have to start by considering what it looks like. The Rio Grande here is constantly twisting and turning and bending back on itself. So even the miles of fencing that they've put in the last few years, the fencing runs in a straight line and has to stay out of the floodplain. So it's back from the river in some cases more than a mile. That cuts off hundreds and hundreds of acres of private property from their owners. So they had a number of court battles here. I mean, they had to use eminent domain to take property from a lot of private property holders here in the Rio Grande Valley. And there's definitely anxiety that, whatever comes out of this bill could lead to additional fencing being built here.
Let's get another call from Charleston, South Carolina. Dwayne is on the line. Hi, Dwayne. Welcome.
Hi, Jane. How you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. Go ahead.
I'm just going to say, it's all a bunch of political correctness. And, to sit there and have people say, well, you shouldn't call them illegal immigrants. They are illegally coming into this country, and I believe it is very political. I mean, you look at, for instance, when Arizona tried to enforce the laws that were already on their books, you had the Obama administration threatening to sue them to keep them from enforcing laws that are here. And it's like the Democrats are just the party of make things as easy as they can, and that's why they're getting the Hispanic vote. because, you know, how do you compete as Republicans? How do you compete against a party that's just giving away everything?
So, Duane, what would you do? How do you see the future?
As long as the Democrats are controlling things, I just don't see things looking very good for America at all.
Duane, thank you very much. Lena is calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Hi, Lena. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. Go ahead.
I think the discussion and the focus of Congress on the border is kind of misleading. We have, like, thousands and thousands of agents and technology that we've put there, and the border doesn't need more troops. Those are really rich binational countries on the border that are existing in this sort of security state, and no one's really paying attention to the fact that the border is part of America and shouldn't be subjected to that kind of sort of no man's land. But I think what's being left out of the discussion in a major way is that security companies and contractors that are building the infrastructure on the border are lobbying those legislators to say that we need more security because it means billions more dollars in contracts for them. And so that is the incentive that's driving this discussion for more border security, and there's a big problem when, in fact, there's fewer and fewer people coming across the border every year, and we've already invested hundreds of billions of dollars there.
Lena, thank you very much. What about Lena's comments, Christopher Sherman, about security companies and contractors and billions of dollars in the mix here really driving this discussion? Not anything about illegal immigration, not anything about politics, but pure money.
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see this play out, because that is going to be a factor. I remember last year a couple of defense contractors brought these blimps, these small dirigibles that had powerful cameras and radar sensors on them, and brought them down to demonstrate here on the border so Border Patrol could get a look at them. And this was equipment that was being brought back from Iraq and Afghanistan. So I think you're going to see, you know, these defense contractors looking for a new market and looking at border security as that possibility. And, of course, that's not new. I mean, we've been experimenting with those technologies for years now, but I think you'll see more of a push that way.
Alan Gomez, back to Washington. What about some of these proposals in the House dealing with immigrants that are already in the United States? Where do those stand?
Well, just last night they passed a bill, as I was mentioning earlier, but from out of the House Judiciary Committee, and there's some debate as to whether this affects the folks who are here in this country. But basically, what the bill would do is create, for the first time, a federal crime for quote unlawful presence in the country. Under current federal law, it is a crime to illegally enter the country. But that's a misdemeanor. It goes away after 5 years because of the statute of limitations. So for the most part, it's not something that's prosecuted. And what this bill did is kind of to some degree, reminiscent, if you believe Democrats, of what happened in 2005 when Representative Sensenbrenner from Wisconsin filed a bill that would have made it a felony to be in the country unlawfully. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, the sponsor of the bill says he's not really targeting the folks who are here in the country. He wants that to be something, a crime for the future. They tried to amend the bill to make that clear last night, but weren't able to. But as it stands right now, that's one of the approaches that they're taking I think indicates sort of the direction they're heading mm-hmm. over there.
Here's Peter in Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Peter. Welcome to On Point.
Hi, Jane. My quick question is, what's the Mexican government's role in all of this?
Peter, thank you. Christopher Sherman, good question.
It is a good question, and I can't say that I've spoken to them personally on that. I know that they have passed their own immigration laws and have put more people at their southern border to try and stop or slow the immigration flow that's there. But here on the northern border, you don't see, a lot of effort being made to keep immigrants from crossing the river on that side of the river, according to Border Patrol agents.
Just have a little bit of time left here before the end of the program. Take us out, Alan Gomez, by helping us understand what's going to happen in Washington. Give us a timetable for a possible immigration reform bill.
Well, what we have now is Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid saying that he wants to get this bill voted on and passed through the Senate before the July 4th recess. So there's going to be several weeks now of, I think there's been at least over 100 amendments that have been filed on the bill right now. So they'll be working late into the night and, as they say, into the weekends for the next few weeks trying to get that passed. The difficulty is going to become in trying to figure out sort of what the House equivalent on that is. They're filing a lot of small bills. Speaker Boehner has indicated that he wants something to move forward, but that he absolutely does not want to just adopt that Senate bill. So there's got to be some movement over there. The House Immigration Group that's been working on a broad bill, they're coming dangerously close to filing it. They say they're just there. They're just about ready. So we're all kind of eagerly waiting to see that come out. So it's just that it's going to be that tough battle trying to get it together. They're hoping to get something done by the end of the summer, because realistically, if this thing starts dragging into next year, we got elections, and I don't know how many people want to vote on an immigration bill just a few months before an election. So it's going to be very, very difficult.
Chris Sherman, in our last 20 seconds, what do Texans want from Washington?
I think they'd, at least here at the border, they'd like to see their congressman come on down and take a look at what it is before they start proposing solutions for it.
Chris Sherman, Associated Press reporter in the Rio Grande Valley, joining us today from McAllen, Texas. Christopher Sherman, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Alan Gomez, immigration reporter for USA Today, joining us from Washington. Alan, I really appreciate your time. Thanks.
Thank you.
You can continue the conversation, listeners, and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. Coming up tomorrow, On Point, direct talks with the Taliban. Is this the key to peace in Afghanistan? Tom Ashbrook is back for that. For now, I'm Jane Clayson. This is On Point.